Recording live from the Black Lodge, it's me, the free will burning head turning ass kicking machismo dripping master podcaster. Oh, Jesus, in a fucking handbasket have I been waiting for this opportunity. We didn't have a poll on the Facebook group this month, just went straight to it and decided we're going to do this fucking movie. This is a late Christmas present to myself. And joining me today, a gentleman who's breaking new ground and being the first ever two-time appearance on this podcast, and it's a short six-month run. Probably going to be canceled after this episode.
Probably.
That or we're going to double our numbers. It's going to be somewhere either really high or really low. All right. Without further ado, the man sitting to my right, Mr. Eddie James Shepherd. Is he going to say something? Why are you here?
Because this movie is fucking awful.
Why do we want to watch a terrible movie?
Because that's what we do.
I'd argue the movie we watched before is actually pretty good.
That's true.
Beauty's in the Eye of the Beholder, but I think there's a special place in... I mean, okay, did you think this movie sucked when you were a kid?
No, but I mean, like, I got the tape for this movie for, like, my second or third birthday, and my brother bought it for me, and I still have it. I should have brought it, I still have the original VHS tape, and I mean...
Fuck, we should have watched it on VHS.
Should have, it would have been amazing.
I don't think we made this clear. I'm sure if you've read the description, you know what you're in for, but this is the Hulk Hogan WWF produced classic, quote-unquote... No holds barred. So I think we should just get down to it.
I think Siskel and Ebert gave us two dicks down.
Two dicks down. Yeah. Well, Siskel and Ebert are 6 feet under, so their opinion means dick to me. All right, you know how this works by now, and if you don't, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. On go, we're gonna do a countdown. And you can't see him, but Eddie over to the fucking side of me is doing the fucking rip him. it's on the menu. Jesus, don't make me laugh yet.
All right, let's do this.
All right, on go. 3, 2, 1, go. Press play. Okay, so a little background on this movie. Hulk Hogan was off of, like, you know what, like a 3 or almost 4 year run as the champion. They took the belt off of him in a controversial decision. Twin referees, one of the most
the Hebners.
Yeah, the Hebners. It was one of the
plastic surgery.
yes, kayfabe. one of the biggest angles the WWF ever did. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, it that was mind blowing.
It held records for the longest time, didn't it?
That was the rematch between Hogan and Andre from WrestleMania 3, and I think it may still have the record as the most watched wrestling match on television of all time. It was on network. It was on NBC, I believe.
Yeah, it was on Saturday Night. It was on the main event.
Main event, yeah. Then the good old days back before. Oh my God. Rip the fucking door down. That's why I call it really slobbering like fucking Cujo. The fucking machismo in this movie.
But like you were saying, like they took the break and they wanted to make a movie, so Hogan dropped the title. And then, of course, Savage won the title at Mania 4.
God damn right he did.
And held it for a year because, God forbid, this movie probably took about a year to fucking make. The coolest thing about this movie I always like the white strapped WWF title because that's my favorite belt they ever produced.
All right, I don't have a problem with the belt so much. Here's right off the top of the bat, here's my problem with this movie, and it's the problem that I had as a kid. Why the fuck isn't he Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, why that makes sense. Like, I guess they wanted to, like you said, like we kind of talked about, they wanted to kind of disaccentuate what was real and what was fantasy. So if Rip is a fantasy character, Hulk Hogan is supposed to be real.
Oh, jeez. Hulk Hogan is real. He's very fucking real.
But the funny thing is, like, he still wrestles for the WWF. And Jesse Ventura and Gene Okerlund are doing commentary, like, as similar as they would. I mean, it should have been Gorilla.
Oh, God damn, look at this fucking jobber.
That's Jake Bullitt in the movie, but that's actually Axe of Demolition.
Yeah, that it is. He looks quite beautiful with his full mane of hair, which by this point Hogan was starting to lose his pretty bad.
It looks like he's kind of trying to comb over a little bit on top.
He didn't fucking need it, man. When you got 24-inch pythons and that much testosterone pumping through your body, I mean, that's why he's hairless from the neck down. All that fucking, he's just a, Yeah, rip him, brother.
They all have WrestleMania 5, WrestleMania 4 or 5 t-shirts on. I just saw a bunch of people in the crowd. I've never noticed that because I've never watched this in high town.
Okay, I bought this movie on Blu-ray specifically for this, and it ended up being a little less awesome than it possibly could be, and I haven't discussed this with anybody because I wanted it to be a surprise, and it didn't work out the way I wanted it to, so I'll share this right now. But I was very close to getting an autographed copy of this movie on Blu-ray. Not only autographed by Hulk Hogan, but also autographed by the villain of the film, Tiny Zeus Lister, and it just got way too high on the amount of money I was willing to spend on it. The novelty wore off when it got past $50. I'm like, no, it's not fucking worth it. I paid, I think, like $15 for this, and that's probably too much. So, but
we were talking about this just a little bit ago about how, you know, keeping kayfabe and stuff alive. There's some empty seats back there. But my question with this is, these fans were probably there for a TV taping, or some kind of taping, or maybe some kind of syndicated show for the WWF. You have Jake Bullitt, who's acts of Demolition, which Demolition's around at this time. And then you have, you know, Hogan playing Rip. How do you keep kayfabe alive when you're giving people signs of, hey, this is Rip, this is just for a movie, but you're still supposed to keep kayfabe and they're wrestling?
Yeah, it's definitely confusing. The thing about this, when I watched it as a kid, I got that, like, okay, this is a movie, but I hadn't yet reached the age of, like, okay, it's a work. But it is super confusing. So to me, like, I think as much as, like, you want to keep kayfabe alive, which, let's just be honest, I think Vince by this point didn't give a fuck about making anybody believe in it. But Vince McMahon, if you didn't pick up on that,
Joey Morrell was a referee there.
But I think it would have been a better financial decision to have had this just be a WWF movie. And then you could have explained it away, like, okay, yeah, these guys are real, quote-unquote, but they're, for the purposes of this movie, they're going to put their differences aside. And then after the fact, if they want to do some in-ring stuff, then they could kind of justify it, as they do with this gentleman right here, Kurt Fuller, who is the villain of the piece.
Brell.
I almost feel like...
Jockass! Which is his catchphrase.
This movie is so full of terrible, amazing quotes. But I almost feel like if you watch this now, in 89, I think this just came out, or 89, I think it was filmed in 88.
Yeah, and it came out in 89.
To me, Brell comes off as supposed to be like Ted Turner to me. That's the idea. I kind of assumed, but
dude,
it's a little earlier for that.
I had never even thought about that. I guess you could make that argument, you know, sort of like, this is why the Monday Night Wars started. Ted Turner saw this movie and he's like, "God damn! Like, I'm buying WCW. We're gonna go on Monday nights and we're gonna try and sign away their champion." But guess what? Brell couldn't do it. Ted Turner did.
It's true. I mean, and like if you look at it, there's a lot of weird similarities to that, because they offer him pretty much like a blank check to come work for the I can't remember the company that they were. Is it the, what's the company's name?
World Television Network.
Yeah, WTN. And that, like, WTBS is very similar, man. And that's supposed to be like the CNN Tower right there.
A little off subject, but have you heard that Billy Corgan is interested in bringing the National Wrestling Alliance back to TBS?
I've saw that. I said it's like the first time that the NWA would be on there since for like 30 years.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I'm a big fan of what he's been doing with the NWA at the moment. I don't think that it's ready to be on television. That's just my personal opinion.
It's a little
opinion.
Early. I'm a big fan of Nick Aldis, which was Magnus.
Indeed.
And we have a big show coming up in February.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and plug your show.
Well, the thing, I'm not going to plug it real hard.
No, plug it as hard as you want.
We have this big show.
Brother.
We have this big show coming up February 18th in Knoxville. We're doing a joint show with another fellow wrestling show called Bandit Wrestling. And Devin Driscoll's in charge of that. And he has some connections to the NWA and different people. And we actually had it set up for Nick Aldis to wrestle Devin Driscoll at that show. But it turns out they only allow it, you know, they're very strict on what they do and the match. They want to build it up, so it's going to be a little bit later on down the line. I believe it's going to be in March or April.
But that's, I mean, that's still cool, like, all the same.
Yeah.
Bringing some, you know, exposure to this area, you know, because they're, I mean, believe it or not, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, but there are actually some really good talent around here, or at least some people that are willing to travel to the area at the very least. Not trying to bury any of the boys.
If promoters were willing to pay, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, like Joey Ryan. Burn!
I love that man.
I love this Hulk Hogan poster, by the way, that he's got. All right. When I purchased this, I bought it off eBay because it was actually cheaper to get it off of eBay. I had to go through a couple of auctions to get it at a price that wasn't, like, outrageous. But when I bought this, you know, at the when you, like, finalize your purchase or whatever, it goes to a screen and, like, it has, like, reviews and stuff. And this may be the greatest review for a movie I've ever read. This is a 5-star review. This is the title. A true masterpiece of modern cinema. What a performance the Hulkster gives as Rip, the big brother, and lover to Randy. Then there's this turd, Mr. Braille, who pretty much encourages man rape as well as other forms of rape. Then there's this part where Zeus climaxes inside Randy and pisses Rip right the fuck off. There's also a whore named Sam who is overpowered and forced to perform Randy's duties on Rip. Rip kills Braille and Zeus and gets Sam and Randy. Do you even need to watch the movie beyond that? That's a...
Turn it off. We're done.
Yeah. 5 fucking stars. Not since Citizen Kane has a movie been lauded so much.
I want to comment first off on Hulk Hogan's attire. This goes all the way back to when he was in WCW and he was wearing the yellow with the cowboy boots and everything. How did anybody think this was cool?
How the fuck you think this isn't cool? I mean, oh man. You walk around, okay, it's 1989, first of all. But I would dare to believe that a man who looks like Hulk Hogan, that stout, could walk around in 2018, by the way, Happy New Year to everybody listening, and he would get the exact same amount of respect that he got back then.
That's true. Well, in that outfit, he definitely would. Like, who's this guy?
He commands.
But then again,
it.
It's 2018, so people are like, oh, that's cool. I mean, I've seen, man.
I've seen people, I mean, fashion is ever fluxing, but I have to think that, like, number one, you got a guy that's like 300 fucking pounds. You're probably not going to be like, I mean, you're dressed like a dandy. That's my nice way of being politically correct. You know where I'm going with this. Send your hate tweets to, I don't know, I don't have a Twitter. You got a Twitter? Send them to Eddie.
Eddie J. Shepherd.
Okay, there you go. Send them to Eddie.
I love Dandies. That he literally gave him a blank check. And this feels so Ted Turner-ish. Like,
I love his belt. I think he's grabbing on his tits. His belt's sort of like a cummerbund that's turned around the wrong way.
From 1 to 10, how steroided up is Hogan right here?
Oh man, he's
to the gills.
Fucking yeah, man. He's. I mean, just thinking like in a few years, he's gonna lose a lot of this mass.
He did. Like if you WrestleMania 9?
Yeah, like the break in between WrestleMania 8 and them coming back for 9, like he dropped a lot of weight. But the whole steroid scandal was going on in the WWF at the time. To which Mr. Hogan, he went on, was it Arsenio Hall?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, y'all never did steroids, brother. Well, fucking me looking at you tells me that's a lie. Not that the Hogan has ever been known for telling the truth. What have you heard some of the ridiculous things Hogan has said? I mean, like, over the years?
I mean, it's just like him and the whole falling out with him and Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake.
Oh my god. BTFBB.
Yeah.
A little shout out to Conrad Thompson and his pair of awesome wrestling podcasts, Something to Wrestle and What Happened When? Speaking of which, you're sporting a really nice shirt over there.
It says low-key big hog, because I have a big cog.
Have you received your call from Tony Schiavone?
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, well, I have a Tommy Young shirt, and I purchased it. It's been, God, probably a couple of months ago, and I still haven't gotten a call. But to be fair, I know there was a big influx of like calls and stuff that they had at the end of the year, people for Christmas and stuff. So I'm hoping he hasn't called me and I missed it.
I'm not either. We missed one of my favorite little quotes is when he tears up the check and puts it in Burrell's mouth. And he says, I won't be around when this check clears.
Oh, see, I get it. Vince fucking loves toilet humor.
Yeah, he fucking does.
Oh, some of the there's one of my all-time favorite lines later on in the movie we'll definitely point out. It's been a gift. And
it's coming up, I believe.
I can't fucking wait.
Like, this is literally kidnapping. That's what they're doing right now. And, like, the funny thing is, like, if you, like, read up on this movie... This movie was written by Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon, so how fucking terrible could this movie really get? I mean, come on. Oh, God.
There's all of this exciting music that really, it's really selling the fact that this is an intense moment. It's like, this music sounds like, you know, there was that period in, like, the WWF when, like, they'd have their pay-per-views, and they had, like, this hot jazz music, like...
Like the Rumble music?
Yeah, like, this is very reminiscent of that. Oh my god, yes, it's coming up.
Yeah.
I like to think this is how actual business is performed. It's like, you don't go along with what we want of you.
You don't like
take you
fucking
to
Ted Turner's money, we're gonna fuck you up. Oh god! God forbid he couldn't kick a door open.
Oh! Oh my god.
This is fucking...
You think, in all honesty, if they had focused more of the movie on stuff like this, I mean, it still wouldn't have been like...
It would have been expected.
Yeah, I mean, I think this movie is sort of like confused on what it wants to be.
Who? There's a lot of who's. Who?
Some Lex Luger saying. Oh, yeah, this is the gentleman, and they're not showing him right now. He's hiding away in the... You can kind of see him in the limo. He has what I believe to be the line of the movie.
It is the line of the movie. I would say that, and it's Randy. That's two lines, man. Oh, this gorilla pressing him.
Ah! This is great. The glistening on his arms, the machismo just dripping from him. it's something really lost. Like if you're watching this on VHS, like this really makes the movie pop in 1080p. You need to see the sweat drip from his 24-inch pythons.
This fucking movie, man.
Oh my god, he just rips the fucking door off the car.
My thing, he couldn't kick the door open, but he's ripping shit off with his hands. He exploded.
Well, uh-oh.
Line of the movie.
This acting.
Dookie. His face, his eyes.
And then it just ends. There's no...
Like, does he call the cops? Like, how does he get home? Like,
oh man,
fuck yeah.
But to answer your question from before, the reason that he couldn't kick the door out, whereas later he could rip it off with his bare hands, he hadn't hulked up.
That's true.
I mean, if you've learned anything from a Hulk Hogan match, it's that as long as you let him calm down, he's beatable.
It's true. He ripped up instead of
Hulk. Oh, okay. I apologize. I'm just having trouble separating reality from.
I'm slightly confused as well because he's wearing the same outfit. Is this the same day?
I think he just walked here. And just think, he just whooped the shit out of. Oh my god, and he's sucking his thumb like, he wants a piece of that puss.
But, every time I see her, I think of See No Evil, Hear No Evil with Richard Pryor.
Oh my god.
Because you see her tits in that movie.
Yes, you do. There's a pretty good gag later on with them in the hotel room. We'll get to that as it comes. But you just think he just whooped the shit out of like 8 dudes. You know, he was sweating like a motherfucker. He goes to this board meeting. He obviously hasn't changed clothes. He probably smells like straight up ass. And he's sticking his thumb in his mouth. And he's making like, you know, like somewhat allusions to his attractiveness. Hey, look at that.
Give him that sexy look. Hey.
So, do you think this is game? He's putting his pheromones out there. Putting the bait out there.
I think he licked his mustache, and that's what sets off the fumes.
Oh my god, it's like a fuse. You light it, and you take a mustache ride. So, you think Bruce Beefcake ever took a mustache ride?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be in his tell-all book.
Yeah, there's a big controversy. And Linda Hogan even said years ago that there was some maybe some gay stuff between Hogan and Brutus.
Brother Brutai?
Brother Brutai! I have a Brutus Beefcake story. When we used to work at a newspaper, and they were doing a convention, a comic convention in Knoxville, right down the road from where we are right now. And they had a lot of wrestlers show up, Scott Norton, Jimmy Hart, Buff Bagwell, and the promoter got in touch with us and was wanting us to do a little piece. And being that I was a big wrestling fan, I'm like, okay, well, let me cover the, you know, the wrestling guys. So I got to talk to a few of them, and I mean, Jimmy Hart, I have to say, super nice guy. I can understand why you probably wouldn't want to be around him for more than like 5 or 6 minutes. The guy is fucking intense, never shuts up, but he was very nice. I didn't talk to Buff Bagwell. He actually kept calling, so if a guy wanted the fucking promo, sorry, Buff. I didn't have time for you.
If you go to Cowboys for Angels,
CowboysForAngels.com, you can take a mustache ride on
Buff Mountain.
On Buff Mountain. Show you why he's the Buff Daddy. But Brutus Beefcake, I did talk to him. And I have to say, he was a complete prick. I'm doing a phone interview with him. And, you know, I'm asking him things pertinent. I'm not really going, like, too much detail about his career. Because a lot of these guys were showing up under the guise of so much of their money was going to go to charity. Which was why we were running the story. Otherwise, it's just, you know, hey, some people you may know are showing up. Like, that's what paid advertisement's for. Sorry. But I talked to him, and he's got his fucking blender on, like, half the interview, because he's got to make a protein shake, so he can hang and bang, brother! But he just kept wanting to talk about, you know, his career and stuff, and I kept having to get him back on track, so yeah, he was a complete prick. Fuck you, Brutus Beefcake.
I have like 4 autographed pictures of
Brutus Beefcake. Oh yeah, you just got those.
I had one years ago. My brother was working for the Florida State Fair, and they did this thing where Battle of the Tough Guys. He did this thing where he had to answer these wrestling questions. It was Jimmy Hart and Brutus Beefcake, and if you answered the 3 questions correctly, you got an autographed picture of Brutus and Jimmy Hart, and you got to eat lunch with Brutus Beefcake. My brother won, and he got me an autographed picture of both of them.
Did they hang and bang?
I highly doubt it. And he didn't really tell me a whole lot about the story, so he may have been a
complete dick. Yeah, probably he's probably probably offended that he had to go through that. Oh, that ass crack.
They're tattooing. I've never noticed that. They're tattooing in there.
That's because you're seeing it in the glorious 1080p Blu-ray edition.
One of my favorite cameos in this whole movie is about to come up.
Oh,
I love,
man.
Stan the Lariat Hansen. Blind as a bat, knock your fucking block off, Stan Hansen. Which I didn't know that for a long time, that he was like fucking blind.
Yeah, he can see about 6 inches in front of his face.
That's why he just walloped the fuck out of people. This guy reminds me of like an Eric Bischoff type.
Which one? The guy on the right or the one on the left?
On the right kind.
I should know that.
She's looking for the gay bar down the street.
That's aged very well.
I like how stereotype like this movie is. Like, just because it's a bar, everyone's like hillbilly, white trash.
Everybody rides a bike and they have missing teeth.
To their credit, there is a makeshift ring with tires as like turnbuckles.
I've been to shows where the ring was not as nice as this.
That's sad.
There he is, Stan Hansen. Look at the outfit he's wearing.
And then fucking, like, you know, I think it's kind of random. They got, well, him and Hogan might have been boys from working in Japan.
There has to be, belts for the boys, you know.
Yeah, because he's never worked for the WWF.
See, you know who that is?
I have no idea who that is.
That's fucking Tyrion Lannister, my friend. The midget they have, and I know that's not a politically correct word, but the gentleman they have in this cage that they, I don't even know if they even show him again.
They do.
That's I'm blanking on the actor's actual name. Peter Dinklage, but that's him.
Really?
That is him. 100%, no joke. I didn't know this until recently. Actually, through Something to Wrestle, their podcast with Bruce Pritchard, they did an entire episode, which I highly recommend you go check that out. You'll probably learn more about the movie and you are gonna...
He has a belt on sweatpants.
This whole, like...
Oh my god.
That was his gimmick, man. He had a fat wife and a bunch of kids. He liked to dip and beat the fuck out of people. He's actually got a hot Asian wife. I don't know if she's actually hot. That's an allusion to Carl Anderson. A match like this doesn't need a referee. I can't think of this actor's name, but I mean, he was in a ton of things in the 1980s and probably in the 90s. He kind of looks like Andy Samberg.
Well, yeah, he does. He looks like Mad Dog Vachon.
There he is.
Oh my god, it is. Holy shit.
How young he is. It's awesome that like he's been able to have an actual career. The first time that I ever saw Peter Dinklage, it's kind of sad to say, I was just bored, and I went and saw the Underdog movie. You remember?
Yeah.
Remember Underdog? It's a fucking terrible movie. But Peter Dinklage plays Simon Bar Sinister. He's the villain of the movie, and I'd never seen him before, at least not that I was aware of. And I left that movie saying, like, this movie sucked, but he's a fucking Kevin Spacey of, like, midget actors, which... probably saying now is probably like a super, super bad thing, but
once again, that doesn't age very well.
But he's a terrific actor. You gotta love Game of Thrones. I'd like to think they just went to a bar and just filmed people. So authentic. It's like a fucking barn.
It looks like the kind of bar, like Roadhouse. Like what the f- He's the original Steve Austin.
Shit, there you go, man. Everything leads to something. This is 100% authenticated, proven. This is the genesis of Steve Austin. There, see the smoking skulls even in the background on the... So, I mean, both being of a certain age range, like, it's kind of in fashion to shit on Hogan, but we were, you know, we both growing up, you and I, and if anybody's honest, for the most part, everybody from our general age range that was into wrestling was a fucking Hulkamaniac.
Yeah, like that. I mean, like, if you go to my Twitter page, like, the picture is me from like my third or fourth. That's probably the same birthday I got No Holds Barred. It's a picture of me wearing a Hulk Hogan bandana, a Hulk Hogan shirt, because they had the sets that you'd always get, like, at Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
Or at Hills. And fucking, and that's how it was, man. We all were. Because Hogan was bigger than life, dude. I mean, the huge jacked up dude. I mean, not only that, but they promoted Hogan so fucking well. I mean, it's hard not to be a fan when you were a kid.
I grew up an NWA in the VD room. I mean, okay, but before I get back to that point, like, this movie is of lower quality, but whoever the art director and, like, the set designer was in this movie, they actually did a really good job, because this stuff looks...
This is fucking...
What does it say? No hippies something?
No hippie funks. I guess they couldn't put fucks.
No, that's a reference to Jimmy Jack Funk.
Ugh.
You know, but that I grew up an NWA guy. I mean, being in the South, I mean, seeing...
It says white power up there. Sorry.
It was the 80s. It was a different time. Is that a condom machine?
It says get it, Bubba. There's a lot of beautiful little things out of here.
There's Dr. Hook.
Do not urinate on the floor.
I grew up an NWA WCW guy. They're always doing house shows in Knoxville. But it was probably around 89 or 90 that I became really aware of the WWF. And, God, I mean, Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake Roberts, I mean, how do you not, like, fall in love with that stuff? Growing up liking comic books and stuff, it was like, oh shit.
It says pencil neck geek.
It does. That's a nice little reference to
Classy Freddy Blassie.
Exactly. But you know, being a comic book fan and seeing the WWF, it was like superheroes like come to life, and Hulk Hogan, fuck my bald butthole. I don't know where I'm going with that. But he was next level, and you could argue for days about, you know, his limited ability, but you can't argue his star power.
No, I mean, and it makes sense that they made this movie, because at the time, it's like anything Vince McMahon and Hogan together touched turned to gold. So, I mean, they figured, you know, they were going to capitalize on the success.
I think they waited too long, though. Like, if this movie had come out in, like, 87...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it probably would have had a better chance. But yet again, the branding of it, if he'd been Hulk Hogan...
It probably would have been even better business.
Yeah, and I just said, I'll never be able to let that go. Like, how do you not capitalize on, you know, the world's most recognizable professional wrestler? And at that point, like... Wrestling was pretty mainstream as far as, you know, attention. I mean, it exploded a few years later during the Attitude Era again. But, I mean, to this point, as far as on a national and worldwide level, Hulk Hogan was wrestling. When you thought about wrestling, Hulk Hogan was the first thing that came to your mind. Battle of the Tough Guys.
And it's funny, though, too. You got to think, the way that this movie didn't succeed definitely hurt a lot of things, because I want to say the next real wrestling movie that came out after this probably was Ready to Rumble.
When you and I had discussed about doing we wanted to do a wrestling episode, and like, this was the first one that popped in my mind, but Ready to Rumble, it's coming, folks.
Oh, God,
just,
yes.
just sometime down the road, we'll definitely get to it.
Do you own it?
I do not.
I have it. So okay. I have it on DVD.
Oh, well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you, between the two of us, that we've funded David Arquette. Poor fella.
Man, it wasn't his fault. Look at this guy.
God, see how long his armpit hair was.
You know, I feel like I know Terry Funk. Around this time, he was with WCW. I don't think he was in WCW yet. I think it was 89 he popped in, because that's when he started feuding with Flair.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised Terry Funk wasn't in this movie, considering all the other movies Terry Funk is in.
Well, here's a better question. How the fuck was Roddy Piper not in this movie?
It's true.
Like, at this point, like, the only one that really had any acting success was Piper.
Did They Live come out in 87?
It did. It was 87 or 88, but I mean, you know, general time. I think it filmed in 87 and
came out.
Yeah, because he started filming like just about after the time that he had his quote unquote retirement match with Adrian Adonis at WrestleMania 3.
Is that really his armpit hair?
If that's his armpit hair, why the fuck aren't they exploiting that? Ripping that shit out. And don't tell me it's illegal and under these circumstances. They very clearly make a point. There's not much of a rules in the Battle of the Tough Guys.
I can't remember if this is a tournament style or it's supposed to be like a gauntlet style.
Well, do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't fucking matter.
There's no fucking rules.
I don't think the plotting was well thought out. Like, how many times are we going to see this same fucking spot of somebody getting flipped over the ropes onto a table and slowly falling off? That's been 90% of this movie so far.
Uh-oh.
Here he is. From the bowels of hell. By way of Mount Olympus.
He's actually built from parts unknown. Or parte anune. Here go.
That's where the Ultimate Warrior is from. Zeus is so much more. He's a step below a god.
Now, like, we talked about before we started that we may do a Facebook Live of the actual match. Oh, he just... Oh, he pie-faced it. Look at that. Look at that strength.
He's got a grip like B. Arthur.
It's funny because everyone probably knows Zeus from as Debo from Friday.
From Friday, yes, that's correct.
And he's also in The Dark Knight Rises. He's just in The Dark Knight, sorry.
He's had a pretty good career for a guy that, by all accounts, looks like he can barely walk. I mean, look at him. He seems fairly uncoordinated. I would never say that to his face because he would fuck me up. But I'm just saying, like, he doesn't look like the sharpest tool in the drawer. All right, what kind of money would it take for you to get that haircut?
Honestly, not much, man. I do it just for the story. If it was like around Halloween, I would do it with no problem. And you know what? It's going to offend a lot of people, but I would totally blackface it. I would.
God.
You have to.
All right. I think if you do it for charity, it's okay. And the charity would be comedy. Because comedy is the greatest medicine.
It's true. What's the movie with C. Thomas Howell? Any blackface?
Oh, dude. That's, oh, fuck.
What is it? The basketball if he goes to school?
Oh, my God. Is it called Black? No, it's not Black Sheep, but I mean, it's something like that.
I can't remember what it is either.
Oh my god.
I'll look that up later. That's the media thing I thought of. Look at that armpit hair. God.
Look, same fucking spot.
look at Hogan's beautiful house. A lot of wood paneling.
It was very in fashion.
Look at that. There's a picture of Randy. there was a picture of there. Look, there's Hogan and Andre up there, too.
That's right.
There's Hogan down there. Oh, wow.
Yeah, probably like Hogan's actual house. This is like a shrine to himself.
Like Bret Hart?
Jesus, yeah. Bret Hart, total mark for himself.
Oh, he was going to throw the lariat, and he blocked it.
Is you think it's the only time you'll ever see Stan Hansen sell for somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. He probably didn't even see it coming.
That's true. That's because it's real, brother. I like that these movies in the 80s, they always had an old black guy that was wise. That was a trope.
It was.
This guy, he's the Morgan Freeman of the movie. See, like, look, Hogan's listening. That's acting right there. That's reacting.
Oh, man, look at that.
So this movie is sort of like Hogan's Rocky III. I mean, I know that's funny considering that he was in Rocky III, but if you look at the parallels, you've got the champion, and then you've got your black, strangely haircutted antagonist. Who the protagonist initially does not want to have a match against, through some means is coerced into having one, and then there's some parallels is what I'm saying.
I'm slightly confused because he ripped his hair out, but what's it supposed to signify that he just I defeated you here? I ripped your hair out.
Yeah, like I said before, show doesn't have any fucking rules.
Oh, here it comes.
Oh my god.
Zeus.
Brell loves it. He loves it. So Kurt Fuller has made a career out of playing the asshole in movies. He's in Ghostbusters 2, which also came out in 89.
Wayne's World,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's a little more redeeming qualities in Wayne's World. But yeah, he's a great actor. Great character actor.
He got very typecasted, though, as the bad guy.
Well, shit, he made money, didn't he? Yeah. I would love to be typecast as... So, I'm going to debut a new... spot for a new I don't know what I'm trying to say. What would you call it? A new segment. A new segment for the podcast here, where we add a little bit of sex appeal.
Oh god.
Because not that this movie needs it, it's just dripping with it. But it's a segment I'm gonna call Sex It Up.
Sex it up.
Okay. The basic rules of this is that you take the movie and you tweak a few things, and you turn it into a porn film. So, No Holds Barred, with a little retooling, would become No Holes Barred. And I have a laundry list of characters. Are you interested in hearing
these? I am. Are they going to be in the Battle of the Tough Guys?
Battle in the Tough Guys.
I like it.
Okay. The star of the film... Hung Hogan.
How'd he get his name?
Oh, you gotta watch the movie to find out. Those holes that are not barred. there's some measuring. It's like, I don't know where I'm going with that. Okay, the promoter of this event, Vince McMahon on Man.
that seems just right, though. Like, it really does.
He's so vascular. They've both left, but they're going to be making their surprise returns to No Holds Barred, working a match, an intergender match against each other. The straight edge superstar BDSM Punk and his wife BJ Lee.
How did she get her name?
Hard way, and she's proficient. Her finishing maneuver, hot damn!
does it finish them off?
Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You've got the Hitman, Bret Hart on. Taking on Jake the Trouser Snake Roberts. Hey man, when he puts the Trouser Snake on you,
there really is no holds barred.
And then, but we've got some stables, some gentlemen working together. You got the Four Horsemen, led by Dick Flair, Scully Blanchard, Oral and Anal Anderson. They're a force to be reckoned with.
Anal Anderson. Just him in the four fingers.
Oh, man. Yeah, he just lines four assholes up and he goes four deep. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Then he's going to cut a great promo afterwards.
Oh, man,
about
he
it.
Does. As he's fucking somebody, he gives him the spine buster. And then,
that's how he finishes.
Yeah.
I'm done. Get out of here.
There's also some tag teams. There's this tag team match. This is one for the ages. You've got the British Bull Dykes taking on the Chode Warriors.
Do they wear the shoulder pads, but there's dildos?
Yes, they do.
I need someone to make this picture for me.
Oh, my God. Please, if anybody out there that is good at Photoshop, make us the Chode Warriors. It's Hunk and Manimal. That's their names.
I like to just call them Anal.
Oh, my God. Anal.
It's like anal and animal combined. Oh, there's Randy.
Oh, he's a sweet young fella.
What else you got?
Oh, I got plenty. Our announced team, Cream Jeans Okerlund and Bobby Hangin' Brain Heenan. And we're going to have some outside interference from D-Generation Sex featuring Triple X, his valet, Vagina, Roadhead Jesse James, In the Ass Billy Gunn, and Sex Pac.
It's kind of ironic because that's like a really missed opportunity by Sean Waltman. In One Night in China, he should have been Sex Pac.
Oh my God, you've got a great point there. If anybody has seen the China sex film, I don't know who was more well endowed, China or Sean Waltman, because man, her fucking clit was enormous. It was like a baby's wrist.
I'm not gonna say that I've seen that porno. But her clit looked like a little dick. Oh, shit.
Oh, my.
Which is very, very strange that she was able to hide that thing in her Playboy issue.
Oh, my God. They airbrushed the fuck out of her, man. I'm assuming.
I'm going to thank my brother for buying me that one, because he used to buy me all the good pornos before I was 18.
This is an interesting scene.
I make a move. The floor. Oh.
He basically puts everybody's life in danger.
Instead of just giving them what they want, this guy's like, what the fuck's going on? Throwing watermelon. Racist!
Oh my God, I never noticed that before. Look at all the Pepsi promotion
I
in
see
here.
That, like the Diet Pepsi. He's throwing fried chicken at him too!
That's a fucking pie, man! That's not fried chicken!
Come on, man. Let's be real here. This is, I think, one of the only like real songs in the movie, and it's Hank Williams Jr.
I think I'd like to see his wardrobe, like his closet. Like, he just has a bunch of color coordinated Power Ranger outfits.
Is he gonna pay for this fucking mess that he's putting on in this restroom?
No.
Look at those boots. It's like he's wearing kick pads with boots. What the fuck's going on here?
Oh, all his ruddy friends are coming over tonight. C-U-M-M-I-N-G. All right, our undercard on this No Holds Barred show. You've got legendary Southern bad boy butt stuff Eddie Gilbert taking on Cactus Jackoff. for our international fans.
Hot butt stuff Eddie Gilbert.
We've got Bukkake. It might be a little stretch. That's Funaki. This is porn equivalent.
Bukkake.
If we're gonna get some black action.
Uh-oh.
In here, because it wouldn't be a good porn movie without some black mambas. You got the Nation of Penetration, led by Cocky Maivia, aka the Cock. Yeah, and you're continuing on with their undercard. You're going to have some light heavyweights going up against some heavyweights tag team action. Matt and Jeff Horny, a.k.a. the Horny Boys, taking on the Underspaker and his brother, Kame.
So every time he gets to the porn and it goes to him, he's like, sorry guys, I already came.
He raises his arms. He pulls them down and he just ejaculates, and it comes out of the ring post as well. That's his backlog, because he's always producing.
Then randomly, like a couple years later, he's going to run for Knox County Mayor.
We love you, Glenn Jacobs. Oh, I love that. I'll tell a Glenn Jacobs story when I'm through with this list. So we're coming to an end. For our female fans, we've got legendary female wrestler Maycom.
Does she Maycom or her name is Maycom?
Both. she's an older lady.
She's not a sure bet. Is she?
She doesn't can't even talk. She doesn't climax as much as
it's Kame does.
It's Kame! It's Kame!
It's gotta be Kame.
Oh, and in our curtain jerker, you've got Ding Dong Bundy taking on Macho Man Randy Phallus. Randy is spelled with an I, by the way. And that's no holes barred. So this is an interesting scene. You know, you've got Hogan and his love interest. They've divided the room up for to cut the sexual tension down. Because how could you resist all that mountain of muscle?
He's so fucking tan, man. He looks like a leather fucking purse. Mm. What is she wearing?
She's wearing Fifi the Maid's outfit.
Looks like it.
Shit, he's bigger than the bed. You'd think, like, they have all this fucking money, and like, they can't get separate rooms?
Well, I think the whole concept is, she was literally sent there to fuck him. Remember? She works for Bro.
She hill turns. And then, like, she almost gets raped.
And it gets really dark, really
so
fucking
if you,
quick.
Ladies, if you ever want to learn something... You get sent to seduce somebody, you're gonna get penetrated. This is a tender scene. You know, I kind of shit on Hulk Hogan's acting ability, not because you know it's fashionable, but because he has none. but I have to say, he's actually not bad in this scene. Like, it's the closest you get to him, like, being, I guess, a human being. As opposed to the larger than life ridiculous,
like one of my favorite scenes is about the hat. It's right here.
Oh my god!
And you look over, and I was a kid. I'm like, is that someone's butt? But it's the bottoms of his fucking feet because they're so pale, and the rest of his body is so dark.
Yeah, this was completely lost on me, and I saw this movie again when I was maybe 13 years old, and I have to say, like, this is actually a pretty funny little moment in the movie.
Because like you see it, you're like, what the fuck is that? It makes no fucking sense. And he's wearing like a fucking Speedo. He wore a Speedo, but he wore shorts on top of that Speedo.
Yeah. Because he's classy. At this point, like, she is so wet that, like, she's putting the blanket on her up because she's cold. It's to soak up all the juice. The juice is loose. But
he's
you know,
smiling. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. But, so, you know, you the first time you understand the joke and you're like, Hulk Hogan's beating his python, giving it the Hulk a slam, only not to be, you know, fulfilled with your homoerotic desires. it sends a good, message. Because, don't be silly. Don't play with your willy. Oh! Yeah, this is up there with sex comedies like Porky's and Animal House.
How dare you? How dare you? Those are American classics.
Oh, burn. Oh, man. You cunt. Why don't you just fuck him?
All I asked for was a fucking hand job. We'll go sleep in the fucking lobby. Maybe someone will jerk me off.
Fucking his ball. Like, he had to put his pants on because his balls were so blue that they were bugging out the.
He took his weightlifting belt with him. He said, "Damn, why?" Oh
man,
well,
when he fucking does it, he does it right. When you're endowed like the Hulkster.
And like you were talking about, like, how it was, like, fashionable to kind of, like, hate on Hulk Hogan, because most of his movies are pretty damn terrible. I think if they would have put him in a serious role, and he actually had a serious acting role, I think he would have been better off. They threw him in all these, like, like Suburban Commando. It's like a family comedy. They threw him in Mr. Nanny, family comedy.
Yeah.
With was it Buster? Buster Keaton, is that who was in that movie?
No.
No, Buster...
Buster Keaton.
Poindexter. Buster Poindexter.
Yeah, he plays the villain. Yeah, Buster Keaton was well dead by that point.
I was just thinking hot, hot, hot. But he's in that movie and he has the fucking plate in his head.
Yeah, he's... You know, one of Hogan's many lies throughout his life is that he claims that he was offered the role of Randy the Ram in The Wrestler, and the movie was written for him. It's not true, but there's a part of me that is kind of like curious, like how that movie would have been with him in the role. Could he have risen to the occasion? And
I think if you like, two people come to my mind when I think of the movie The Wrestler, and you could have went one route with it, and you could have went with Hulk Hogan. And I think if Hogan would have been put in that situation, had to actually full-on act, I think he probably would have rose up and done it. The only other person that would have worked really well in that role is a local guy, and it's Ricky Morton.
You're damn right. I think that movie fits more of Ricky Morton's story.
And I almost feel like it's very loosely based on Ricky Morton, even just down to the look, you know what I mean? And I think Ricky would have knocked it out of the park, too.
Well, you've worked with Ricky. I met Ricky several times. Ricky is an awesome guy.
He's an amazing dude, man.
Really cool guy.
I remember... I worked the show with Ricky, and he was, you know, getting his bandanas around his thighs and his legs, because, you know, he still does that, and he's sitting there trimming them up, and I'm sitting there listening to, you know, what, 30-something years worth of, almost 40 years worth of stories, and he's just talking to me, man, like I'm his equal, and it was like the coolest fucking thing in the world. And he don't get enough credit, man. I mean, he started the School of Morton now, and
a guy I used to be real good friends with is actually training in that school. And I mean, if anybody can teach you, it's gonna be fucking Ricky Morton. I mean, I don't exactly have high hopes for this guy. He's probably listening right now. Sean, come on, dude. Fuck, man.
I don't know, and I know a lot of people that go to the School of Morton. Lenny Stratton, that works for us, and his wife Nicole, they both go down there and do a lot of stuff. And she just recently did some stuff for the WWE. A lot of people don't know this. She actually did a not really a dark match, but it's like the match they do before any fans are in there. They kind of just do like for the you know, all the people in the office. She had a 3-way match with Britt Baker and Tessa Blanchard. And Tessa Blanchard actually hurt her on purpose.
I would love to have a 3-way with Tessa Blanchard.
You and me and Tessa Blanchard?
Sure. Eiffel Tower!
Honestly, her chin reminds me of Tully way too much, and it turned me off like in a heartbeat. But she is fucking Ricochet, so...
You don't have to look at her in the mouth if you're hitting it from behind.
I know.
I'll take the mouth, fuck it. All right, Tessa Blanchard! Challenge is out there!
She's actually working in town in a couple of weeks. She's actually working for... that other promotion that I don't like to talk about.
Her and the Horsemen are going to be at a Fanboy Expo, you know, riding her daddy's coattails. I'm just joking. She's actually pretty good. But you say she intentionally hurt?
Yeah, apparently Britt and Tessa work a lot together, so they were kind of bummed out when they threw Nicole into the match with them, So they kept cutting her off and not letting her get anything in the match. And she put her in some kind of chicken wing. And she said, you know, she tightened up and she goes, all right. She's like, loosen up. It's real tight. So she tightened and just threw her back and she landed on her shoulder.
Shit.
So it kind of changed my outlook on her. And she said that she wasn't the most pleasant person, which doesn't really surprise me, because once someone has, you know, a little bit of superstardom in their head, then, you know, they kind of get that way. Thankfully, like our shows, we haven't really ran into that very much, but it kind of, you know, soured me a little bit on her. Look at this beautiful, luscious set of necklaces on Zeus's neck.
This is a fucking belt.
It is a badass belt.
Zeus.
He has those like metal thing on his wrist. Ka-ching! You know, like a cheap Wolverine.
So, at any point, have you ever, debated on getting a Rip'em shirt?
Absolutely. They actually had on WWE Shop for
a while.
Yeah,
they did.
And then now they have the Rip'em shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees for Bruce Pritchard.
You know, as much as we're shitting on this movie. It does have a nostalgic quality to it, and you know, I think when I watch this, it makes me think about, you know, being a kid, you know, 6-7 years old. Brings me back to a more innocent time.
We've talked about it because we do podcasts every once in a while for our show, and we talk about how much I enjoyed wrestling more when I thought it was still real.
Yeah.
And compared to now, and even having me on the other side of it and just being, you know, involved with shows, it kind of ruins the whole aspect of everything for you. I mean, even just like now on Raw when stuff happens, and then, you know it's not real. Like, you know something's just not real. And like when you were a kid, this was real, man. Like, even in this movie, I'm like, fucking Hulk Hogan, he's ripped, but that's Hulk Hogan, and he hates Zeus.
You're a mark.
Yeah.
You're a fucking mark.
You know, it's funny you say that. There was this guy, someone posted that Kenny Omega just signed another year with New Japan, and this guy put on in the comments section, said that all these marks, you know, thought that Vince McMahon sent Chris Jericho to Japan, to New Japan, to get him... To get him to sign with WWE, kind of infiltrate. And then I go look at this guy's page, and he has pictures of, like, all the Bullet Club members. And he's not, like, a wrestler. He's not, like, a promoter. I'm like, how can you sit there and not realize you're calling these people the exact thing that you are?
Yeah, we're all marks.
Exactly.
We're all fucking marks. It's just some of us are more upfront about it. I Kenny Omega. I'm not the biggest Kenny Omega fan. I respect Kenny Omega. I think he's actually very talented. And he's toned down a lot of the nonsense that I don't like.
He's gotten more serious since becoming like a big dog in New Japan.
This last Wrestle Kingdom, and even the Young Bucks, who I absolutely hate, they didn't do a lot of...
They grow on you, man, because they're very talented guys.
I'm not saying that they're not, because that's not my argument. They're very talented. They're entertaining. I'll give them that. And, I mean, ultimately, that's the goal. I just, for my money, like, if you're... I like things to be presented in more of a realistic view. I know that being kind of crazy and then waxing nostalgic about, you know, 1990s WWF, which was pretty damn cool.
I want that fucking jacket, by the way. I'm going to find that for you for Christmas.
Oh, my God. Fucking right. Satin jackets were the shit.
Why would you fucking... You're trying to rape someone. Just run. Don't stop. Just keep running.
People... rip him. He's going to rip that ass. Bet that tire tread on his butthole feels real good. He's dead. That killed Sonny Bono.
It did, though.
Then it runs over his fucking face.
This guy's like, oh, fuck. I ain't going to try to rape anyone. It's not being any more conspicuous about this. Fuck, go!
Oh, man. Get over it.
Well, you're saying about Kenny Omega.
Hashtag me too. The WWE, like, I think we're all in agreement that, like, the wrestling is less important in WWE. That's not to say that occasionally you won't have some, like, really standout matches. But he's moving in the right direction, and I'm conflicted on whether or not it would be a good decision for him to go to the WWE or not, because I think it's the only way he's ever going to be truly validated.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I never wanted Sting to go to the WWE because I thought it would hurt his legacy, and I want people to be able to become stars without the WWE machine. But at the same time, like... You're depriving, like, basically a mainstream audience from ever really knowing about you. Because as big as New Japan is, and
it's continuing to grow, too.
It is growing, but it's still very much a niche thing. Because the Japanese-ness of it is going to turn off a lot of people.
Well, I think the idea of the New Japan World, the network that they have, it's helping a lot. Especially, it's even cheaper than the WWE Network.
That's true.
And you get a lot of content. And especially now that they're kind of dropping the English and Japanese barrier with having guys like Kevin Kelly and Don Callis being there. But I read something too, like you were just saying about how, like, you know, the wrestling's kind of second in WWE, where Chris Jericho was quoted saying that it's not about how good of a match you can have in the WWE. It's about, you know, it's a drama, and the wrestling's the background.
And but I think it's the best you're going to get. Mm-hmm. It's a marriage of those two things. Like, you have a hot button issue, and you know, your personality has to shine through. And Kenny Omega has plenty of personality. I mean, I'll give him that, and he's very gifted. I just think if you put him in a WWE situation, he's either going to not live up to expectation or he's going to exceed it. And the WWE has sort of a method of slowing people down. Like, you're focusing more on not spots, but on telling an overall story. And Dave Meltzer has said that he and Okada had a 6-star match. I thought it was a good match. I thought they spent too much time outside. And New Japan has a problem with, like, either enforcing rules that shouldn't be there or not enforcing rules at all. So that, to me, that hurt that match, the Wrestle Kingdom match from last year. I think if you strip the bullshit away and you put the machine behind him and you put him in the proper context, I think he could be something. And that's why it makes me so angry, like, when they gave him a 6-star match, because, like, I'd seen better matches in New Japan than that. And this last year with Jericho, which I thought was a good match, but man, the camera angles and the fucking the spots where they're handing off
the blade. Oh my god!
And he's got the hairspray gimmick, and you can hear him, like, calling his spots and stuff like that. That affects, like, to me, the quality and some of that was production. I'm not laying all the blame on them, but, you know, just because most of your Japanese audience don't speak English, That's still. I mean, it's going to get to America. Don't call your spots out like that loud, John Cena.
Like, and that's what took me out of, like, we have our wrestling roundtable, and that kind of took me out of the match of seeing him, you know, the blade, and, like, they handed the blade off and dropped it in the most terrible way. The ref digs into his pocket and clearly going,
yeah, it took me out of the match. I thought the match started awesome and ended awesome, but there were some points in the middle I thought that really hurt. But anyways, Meltzer gave the match 5 stars. I don't think it was a 5-star match.
I think the whole star system is fucking garbage, because it's one man's opinion.
And I don't know who elected Dave Meltzer king of smarks. You know, he's been doing it a long time, and he's not always wrong, but there is this whole idea that, like, well, if it happens in Japan, you know, 5 stars. And that's not always the case. I didn't think it was the best match on the card. I thought the main event was overall the best match. The match that I was most into, though, was the NEVER Openweight Championship match. That match was a fucking...
And every year it gets like that, because they just beat the fuck out of each other in that match. And
strong style.
Another match I was super into was the Ibushi Cody Rhodes match.
Yeah,
and Cody Rhodes gets a lot of flack, because, I mean, we've had him at our shows, and super nice guy. Brandy, I'll be completely honest with you, Brandy's not the nicest person in the world. Like, you could tell she'd be a bitch.
Oh my god!
But she was super nice to me and super nice to my kids, because Kalen was all about him. But people give Cody Rhodes a lot of shit, saying he's not a great wrestler, but I think even...
I would disagree. I think Cody is a terrific wrestler. I just don't think he's been put in the right circumstance to really show it off. And having him in Japan, and where it's overall more wrestling-centric... By the way, this whole Zeus hologram thing is fucking stupid.
Yeah, and he also... I was reading, too, that Hogan actually cut his hand on the glass doing that shit.
I want that poster.
You can probably find it.
Speaking of posters, no, I want the one from the movie, like, that he's ripping right now.
Yeah, speaking of posters, we posted, like, you know, the main poster for this movie. My buddy Travis, who got me the Brutus Beefcake autographs, got me the original print of the poster, and it's glorious, and it's up in my house.
Oh, man.
You've seen it.
I have seen it. I guess now would be a good time to talk about a little tradition you have that we actually broke this past year.
No, and I couldn't find anything.
I'm going to explain what happened because I got into a bidding war over something and it just wasn't worth it. But we celebrate terrible WCW Christmas, and it's where we'll get each other, like, who can get the other person the worst WCW related wrestling gift.
The first year you got me a Sting, like, Wolfpack lanyard.
And you still use that?
I still
thing.
Use it. It still has my van keys on it. And then I got you the WCW comics that were gone.
Oh my god. I still have them. They're amazing.
Then you got me, the next year, you got me a Glacier autograph picture. And I was like, dude, I can't top this. Like, you can't top a Glacier
autograph
picture.
Oh man, I also got you the Hulk Hogan the Hawk Blender. Thunder yep. mixer.
And then, like, every year I keep looking, I never find anything good. I almost got you the Kevin Sullivan vibrating action
God.
Figure.
I would have fucking loved that. Put it on my balls.
But, like, that's our tradition. Like, what were you bidding on?
Okay, if I got this, the problem is that, like, I would have been tempted to keep it for myself because it was so funny. It was a WCW magazine from, I want to say, like, 91, maybe 92, with PN News on the cover. Autographed by PN News. I was winning this thing for like 6 days at $7. And then the last day, it shot up to 12, and I was at work, and I was like, I'll go to 15, but I'm not going more than that. But fuck, it slipped right through my fingers. Then I found it had been on there before, and it didn't sell, but I didn't have the opportunity to bid on it. It was a Arn Anderson Galoob figure on card, but it was on Butch Reed's card. And evidently, like, it's super, super rare. And, like, the first time, like, just nobody was aware of it, and it didn't sell for, like, at all. And then the second time, like, it's something that's, like, highly sought after. And fuck my butt, it went for, like, $80. I'm like, that ain't fucking worth it.
Jesus Christ.
Oh man,
we missed it. But Hogan was crying there. He actually showed some acting chops, which I was kind of surprised in. But like this, like you were saying, like this reminds me a lot of Rocky III.
Yeah.
How like Mickey dies in the middle of Rocky III, and he's trying to train and really can't because he's all
Well, here's a little allusion to Rocky IV. With your high tech, the differences in training between the two.
Hearts on fire, strong desire, not another
way.
Go on.
Drago!
I always thought this was kind of cool, too, watching this, like, because we're so accustomed to four-sided rings, and this is a fucking eight-sided ring.
Yeah.
And, like, to me, it was the coolest thing as a kid. Like, I'm surprised. If I think that this movie, they were trying to push this movie harder. They would have put action figures out for this movie.
Dude,
they would have done stuff like that.
I would have bought the fuck out of...
Because even at the time, like, I don't even know of them releasing ripped shirts. Like, I don't think they did that.
I think they may have had a limited run available at like house shows and stuff, but I doubt they were like big sellers. If I'm wrong about that, I may just imagine that. But I do think there was like some kind of small merchandising tie-in. Like, this is fucking obviously, like they're going to the
wrestling match,
the black tie affair
at the wrestling match.
Look at him.
You know what's funny though is like, and it's kind of like it's kind of realistic because Hogan had so much fucking like stroke in WWF and continued on WCW, but like he's a WWF contracted wrestler, and then he's going to wrestle. This is a guy who's owned by the station's name?
World Television Network
WTN, and. It's the WTN, and you'd think there would be no way this would be possible.
Well, they're going to rape her. That's her character. No!
I really do enjoy her so much more in See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Is that Kevin Spacey?
It is Kevin Spacey. Everything comes full circle. I bet he diddled her on. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Like, likes dudes.
He probably did Richard Pryor because he was blind.
He's like, God damn it, for the last time, I'm not actually blind.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Method acting, I'm sorry.
I keep falling down.
we're at the review, See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Oh, my God. I love that fucking movie.
I always said that, like, if I could meet any actor living or dead, and, you know, most people would think the first thing that would come to mind would be, like, Bill Murray, but it was actually Gene Wilder.
I worship
the ground Gene Wilder walked on. Like, he was like a perfect human being, and he is sorely, sorely missed. Oh.
You stay down.
See, this is where the Montreal Screwjob came from.
Look, brother, I know it was 9 years ago, but I have this idea.
Braille's been behind, like, every wrestling tragedy.
Owen Hart?
Oh, my God. You jock ass!
That's not true, though, because Braille dies at the end of this. So. Spoiler alert.
Shit. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
Is that Pee Wee Anderson?
Like, Zeus plays himself in this movie. Braille plays himself in this movie. The character Braille in the movie dies, but the man Braille lives.
that promo we were talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember what interview.
Look how beautiful the white strap looks on that belt, man.
I don't think there's any argument. As far as, like, WWF championships, like, world championships go, like, the Winged Eagle is it. They haven't had a belt that's even come close to, like, being as good. How do you feel about the Attitude Era, the Big Eagle?
When they first debuted it, I was so upset because I remember it was the night after WrestleMania 14.
Yeah.
And then Austin talked about it, how it came up and clipped him in the chin when he went to stun Vince because of, like, the fucking Eagle's wings were sticking out.
Mm.
So, like, I don't know. Like, I've never really been a big fan of it. And then they, you know, shortly after that, they had the Undisputed title, which I thought was okay looking.
I really liked that belt.
And then they brought the spinner, and at the time I thought it was cool because I thought it was something different.
You would.
Well, it was different.
I hate the spinner belt.
But then, like, and then I felt like it was kind of like the thing with Austin having the Smoking Skull title. Cena should have been the only one that carried that title.
I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I kind of liked it when Edge had it.
Yeah.
And then when The Miz had it for that period, because at least they did something different with it. The customizable belt, I think that's a gimmick that should be reserved for, like, I mean, like, somebody that's really, really special. Yeah. And obviously Austin fits that bill. Cena to a lesser degree, but it looks like a toy. And that's probably why they kept it around so long.
Yeah, they just kept making so much fucking money off it. Look at this gear, man. This
fucking Power Ranger shoulder shield, man. He should have wore that during the match.
Like, if you really think about it, the idea of entrance gear is kind of fucking stupid. And that comes from, like, even, like, a promoter standpoint. Like, I get if you're going to wear your t-shirt out, because you're gonna push your sales. But if you're fucking wearing all this shit, you're wearing it for... You put all this money into it, you're wearing it for 5 minutes, and you take it off.
Sometimes it's cold backstage. And then, like, when you're in the ring, you know, you're heating up, because physical, body-to-body contact... Yeah, they take the belt off.
I like that they never really get a perspective of the, like, who is in charge of the WWF.
Yeah, I mean, how did Vince, like, I mean, I guess he was a little more low key back then, but, like, you think his ego, like, he, you know, low key big hog, he would have, you think he would have been, like, front and center. And I have to imagine, like, this movie would have been 100 times better if you had Vince, like, over the top Vince.
Like, and Vince is there and he's like, say, we're going to send you there because we know that Braille fucking hurts your brother and he sent guys to rape your girlfriend.
They sent guys to rape your girlfriend.
He's like, we're going to send a cease and desist and we're going to make this shit work.
I know. Oh, fucking Randy.
I'm just going to let you know, too, after I leave here today, I'm going to go find a Zeus on 2K18. I'm going to download it, and I'm going to recreate. I'm going to see if someone can rip.
You should. You got to max him out, though, because he's unfucking beatable.
It's true.
Some nice cleavage.
Now, I got to ask you this, because we did the review of Halloween 3 and Stacey Nelken in that movie. And Samantha Moore. I don't know her actual name, but to me, who do you think's the hotter of the two?
I'm gonna have to go Stacey Nelken, because she has this like innocent like look in her eyes that like really does it for me, and the girl here from No Holds Barred. I mean, like, I don't know. She gets raped too much for my liking. It's all loose and worn out.
Her name's Joan Severance, but I actually pulled a picture of her. What, do you want to see what she looks like now?
Sure. Damn.
She still looks amazing.
Yeah, they look pretty well. Yeah, you out there listening to the podcast, go Google that shit. Go to the bathroom and do the no-fap challenge.
Not gonna happen.
And apparently, how loose these turnbuckles are.
I noticed that, too. We gotta think. It's Hulk Hogan. It's not like he's doing shooting star presses
that's
here.
That's true. Hulk Hogan doesn't. Rip could.
That's the story. Yeah, it's funny, too, because like, as a kid, too, when I watched this movie, you know, I mean, I was always a WCW or WWF guy. It's literally all you could watch as a kid. And WCW's always come to my hometown, Indiana. They used to come to the Holman Center, and it was only, you know, a couple miles from my house. So we would always go to WCW shows with my dad as a kid. But WWF rarely ever came. Like, one of the most notable times that they came was, like, when the last Saturday Night's Main Event where Shawn beats Bulldog.
Yeah.
That was at the Holman Center in Terre Haute.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, they didn't really come very often, and they come more now. But as a kid, I never knew Hogan had a running, axe handle.
Yeah, he did that in Japan.
So in this movie, I'm like, why is he not using the leg drop as a kid? That makes no sense. But it makes more sense now.
Well, I'm glad this movie taught you something.
Yeah, dude. Like, the whole concept of this, too, is just like we were just talking, like, it's a black tie affair for two men beating the shit out of each other. Like, how many times have you been to a wrestling show and seen people in a black tie affair?
Okay, I'm blanking on what it's called, but there used to be a thing. It was in Kansas City, where legitimately, like, it was like a sit down dinner, and they had wrestling.
I heard that. Oh, they were talking about that on one of
one of those I think Conrad Thompson.
Yeah, I think it might have been the
Wrestling at the Chase.
That's it. Yes.
Wrestling at the Chase. So
and
I mean,
they ate and they didn't. They had, you know, their suits. They had like their own actual table, and they ate food, and the concept of that is fucking incredible. Like, from a promoter standpoint, if you could offer somebody a meal, like, that was my idea for the NASCAR Speed Park, is if you bought it, you would turn it into a wrestling restaurant where everything would have a wrestling name for their food. But on Friday and Saturday and maybe Sunday nights, you actually had a show where you could eat lunch during the day, but when the show happened, you could eat your food at a table while the matches happened. I think it's a fucking genius idea, because there's nothing like that.
You're a genius, and if you can get the millions of dollars they're wanting for that building.
I was so injured. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna look how much it is, and that building's way too fucking much.
There's a reason it is set empty for all these years.
I think it's like 8 million? It's something like that.
Something ridiculous. For those of you that are listening that have absolutely no idea what we're talking about, where we live, for the longest time, there was a restaurant themed by NASCAR, and it's in the middle of fucking nowhere. Or at least for the time it was open, it was. It's closed down. And the building's still there, but they're wanting like an exorbitant amount of money for it that they're never going to get. It's still themed out like outside of the building with NASCAR stuff.
It looks like a little racetrack.
And they've covered the word NASCAR because evidently NASCAR threatened to sue them for licensing issues or something like that. I don't know. They had to pay a licensing extension if it was going, even if the building was not being, if the business wasn't even being ran.
Yeah, like he does this move, I believe he does this move at Survivor Series, or he tries to, or it's at SummerSlam. Yeah, I think, like, this movie literally spinned off and almost, like, changed the wrestling world forever, because we had Zeus show up randomly, because, you know, the whole concept of it was, the actor is still in the mindset as Zeus, is at least that's what they try to portray. Brazzers. They try to portray that Zeus was still in character, and he wouldn't get out of character because he's so upset at what happens in this movie that he comes to the WWE.
Did he not read the fucking script? Like, I mean, look, what the fuck?
Like,
I mean,
like, the logic of it makes no fucking sense.
Randy.
Rib him, brother. Rib
him. Oh, Jesus. That's the power of Hulkamania. Or Ribble Man. Oh, my God. No. He kicked that old man.
He Pat McAfee'd him. Which, hey, you know what? We give shout-outs to the fucking podcast. Pat McAfee is a fucking hilarious man, and I highly recommend anybody looking up Barstool Sports and Pat McAfee, the Pat McAfee Show. He's fucking hilarious. He used to be the punter for the Indianapolis Colts.
That's true. That's true.
But, like, the idea was, you know, he was mad because he, you know, what happened in this movie, that Hogan, you know, beat him, that Rip beat him up, but Hogan was playing Rip, but Hogan is being played by Terry Bollea, so dude, it's a very... God,
that's like fucking Inception, man. Like, you got to go down a bunch of rabbit holes to even get to the root of this issue.
And then, like, so he showed up with Randy Savage, which I feel so terrible for Randy, because Randy just came off this year fucking run as champion. Hogan comes back like, hey, motherfucker, I'm taking my title back.
All right, but before we proceed beyond that, the build-up between the Mega Powers exploding from WrestleMania 4 to WrestleMania 5, to me, is the best story the WWF has ever told. Long-form story.
Oh, yeah. The slow build of it all. And even with Bruce Prichard talking about it, saying that they planted that seed on purpose. So, that's why Hogan was involved with so much of it.
Yeah, and for the fallout to be not this hot-button issue, but it's like bullshit... You know, involving this movie is awful. It sucks for Savage, especially because it kind of demoted him to second fiddle to Zeus.
Well, not only that too, but you got to think the year that goes in, because the whole talk was, at least the urban legend was, I can't really remember listening to Bruce's podcast about it, but the urban legend was, if this movie would have been super successful, they would have built it out where they had the tag match at SummerSlam, he was in Survivor Series,
and then went to Mania,
and the main event of WrestleMania 6. Would have been Hulk Hogan versus Zeus.
Well, I'm very thankful that things worked out the way they did, considering, because that Hogan Warrior match is, it's by far Warrior's.
It's one of Hogan's best matches as well. Yeah. I'll go ahead and say that as well. Because, I mean, you can't really sit here and say Hulk Hogan is the king of fucking having these amazing matches, because truthfully, he didn't. I mean, only a few matches that certainly come to my head when I think of great Hogan matches is
WrestleMania 5.
WrestleMania 5. And I would say even the match with The Rock at 18. And I think it's a nostalgic match.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a lot better than some of Hogan's other matches.
No, I mean, the crowd was definitely
made a big part of it. I think that's something that people don't put into in context. If a match can be great, if the crowd's not selling or not reacting, who fucking gives a shit?
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's teetering! Zeus is teetering!
It's funny, because he just picked up and slammed him. And, like, my brother and I's favorite little shtick is over when Tony Schiavone, he bats him up! He slams him! And that's, every time he slams him, that's immediately what I think.
Oh, Braille's having a fucking meltdown.
And it goes back to old Hogan, too, but seeing Hogan in blue, it throws me so fucking off. Ooh.
Suck at titty. the garland on the side of the ring. That's some classy shit.
It's tinsel.
Tinsel garland. I gotta apologize.
Oh! He's shoving women. Girls, I think his name's Craig. He's down. Randy's the... Hoo!
Yes!
I want to get a t-shirt made where Hogan's face is just going... Hoo! Dude, it's still...
That needs to, I'm sure it's a GIF. If it's not, it definitely should be. Oh, my God.
And there's strictly, like, a no-blade policy in this match. I feel like someone should have gigged in this match.
Hogan ain't gigging, brother.
Dude, seriously, man. Hogan is fucking jacked. He is definitely juiced to the gills, man.
They've built this up to be a big deal. You know, champion going into enemy territory. You think they could have sold more? This could have been like look at an arena or something.
That's what WrestleMania 6 was going to be, brother.
Oh my God. Well, You gotta start someplace. But I mean, this, honest with you, man, this looks like a TNA show. And not just because there's a multi-sided ring. By the way,
they're back to a four-sided ring. Funny little fact, too. We were actually in contact with Austin Aries to come work for us. And he just recently won the title at the tapings recently.
Good for him. He was misused in WWE.
I agree. I mean, how pissed would you have been? This is like Halloween Havoc 98 all over again. Like, how many refunds these guys would have to offer?
Do you know how expensive pay-per-view was back then?
Yeah.
Holy Jesus, it was like $80.
Do you remember how much fucking tapes were back then?
Yeah.
They were like $50 for a tape.
Yeah, but if you bought a WWF tape back then, you got a poster and a keychain.
It's true. We still have some of those boxes.
I do. I have an extensive collection of wrestling VHS.
It's like Travis. If you ever see Travis, I don't know if you've actually ever seen his collection.
I beyond just pictures, I have no
idea. Oh my God, it'll blow your mind, man.
No, I don't even register as having a collection.
One eye is definitely cockeyed there.
And he's down. Zeus is down. By God, he's broken in half. How did he learn to fall off a 20-foot ladder?
I'm trying to see like how they had their ring set up because we got blood.
He needs his blood. He's dead. He committed murder. The sequel to this movie is Hogan standing trial or Rip standing trial for steroids. Yeah. I was going to say the murder of
no man. No, he was self defense. There's clearly cameras and there's plenty of witnesses to vouch for that. The man just died and the crowd's cheering. It's fucked up. 80s were a different time.
This is what we've become as a society. Oh, jackass! And shocking. He's shooting sparks out of his rectum. Ha ha! This movie's electrifying!
Vince is like, we have to make sparks fly out of his ass. It's like Tommy Wiseau has to show his ass to make the movie sell.
Yes.
Well,
and it fucking worked. The crowd goes wild. Now, in context, like, they're at the enemy show. So, ideally, I mean, they both drew the house, but I have to think that, like, the majority of these people are here because they like Zeus. I don't know. I'm conflicted on, like, the reasoning.
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But did he won the crowd over? Is that what happened?
I think...
Is this a Rocky IV moment where...
That's definitely from, like, earlier in the fucking movie. First of all, we gotta talk about this fucking theme song. It's fucking amazing. And I love that Rip is Hulk Hogan. He's not Terry Bollea. He's fucking Hulk Hogan.
He was born Hulk Hogan. There is no Terry Bollea. No holds barred!
I love that commentator 1 and 2 are literally labeled commentator 1 and 2, not Jesse Ventura. And ring announcer.
And Joseph Morrell.
Joey Morrell.
Yeah,
oh man!
Oh yeah,
this theme song. Stan Hansen, actually Neanderthal.
Wow. Klondike Kramer.
Klondike Bill.
Klondike Bill's glass bottom boat rides. Frank Hart. I wonder if he's related to the Harts. There's like a gaggle of them. He's the first cousin that has no athletic ability. Oh, right, well, so I mean...
We have some questions, don't we?
We do have some questions. Before we get to them, like, so, you know, after all these years, what do you think? Like,
does not hold up at all. but like you said, it's the nostalgia of it all. Like, when you watch, like, it's like watching fucking The Room. It's fucking terrible, but it's awesome because it's so fucking terrible. Like, you know in the fucking their mind that Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan had this idea, this is going to be the best fucking movie ever. And then they put it together, and like, you know, in Vince McMahon's mind, he was like, this movie's fucking incredible. And they release it, and everyone's like, this movie's fucking garbage.
Yeah, this movie didn't make a killing, and they did a tie-in where they sold, was it Survivor Series or...
It wasn't even that. They literally, when this movie came out on pay-per-view, they sold the movie. And then after the movie was over with, and it's on this Blu-ray, you actually get the steel cage match.
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember they had some kind of like pay-per-view tie-in, or like you ordered one, you got the other one for free.
Or it was really, something like yeah, that. Yeah, because they were trying to push it because they knew people that flopped in theaters, and they even talked about like during like the Monday Night Wars, where you know, the fucking things were heated between WCW and WWF. That Jim Ross even mentioned how bad and how poorly they drew money on this show and call it No Profit Allowed. Oh. That's fucking hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
But it's like oh, you're fucking ribbing Hogan, but like you're ribbing Vince McMahon because Vince McMahon helped put this shit together. Hey, Pumpkin, hey, like look at these fucking names for these songs.
Yeah, like I don't reckon. No Holds Barred, written by Jim Johnston. Unfortunately, Jim Johnston just got released after all these years with the company. It's kind of a... This is his legacy. All right, well, let's get to it. We do have a few questions we'll take care of, and then we'll call it a day. Well, for the commentary anyways, then I think
we're going to watch some matches.
We're going to watch some matches. All right. We have a series of questions that come from Sam Witt. The first one, is there a sequel? If not, why? You want to take that one?
I think they probably in their mind, like we were just talking about, was like, this movie's going to fucking make a lot of money because Hogan's hot right now. The WWF's hot right now. I mean, they haven't started to like go down yet because I feel like WWF started to go down probably like 91, like the popularity of it.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, especially with the steroid trial and all that hit. So, I mean, it started slowly going down. So in their mind, they figured this was going to do a lot of money. So I guarantee you they had something else lined up. Hogan would have found another fucking villain.
Okay, well, if there had been a sequel, like if this movie had been a success, I think that the natural direction to have gone in, it should have been Hogan against, like, another big star. And, just think how much better this movie would have been if it had been Hogan and Savage. Now, I realize you can't take them both out because they're both the top guys and film it at the same time, but, like, I mean, surely they could have worked it out where...
Well, you got to think, too, if in, like, modern times now, it's a little bit easier for a guy to get off TV, and they feel like the movie-making process is a lot shorter than when it was then, so you could easily get off. I mean, like, The Miz was just off TV for, like, a month because they were shooting The Marine, like, 20.
Yes.
And so people were off TV for a bit, but it's easier, but I mean, in that concept. But I think, and even with John Cena doing movies, a lot of people do movies and then come back and keep doing wrestling, and then it's on their off days, they shoot what they can. Like you said, I could have seen it being Hogan and Savage if you were still building to that, but at the same time, you could have easily went with Piper. And I think the whole idea was Piper could come, you know, say, you know, he could have somehow been like the business partner of Zeus, or he was like, you know, something to do with the tie it in.
I have a completely take over. The second question is, should there have been a sequel? And even though this movie didn't do very well, my answer is yes. Unequivocally, yes, there should have been a sequel. And, okay, let's say Piper's your opposition. Well, he's the adopted brother of Zeus.
They were both orphans.
Yeah.
And they grew up in the same, like, fucking orphanage or some shit. Like, you know what I mean? Something...
And Zeus is now in a wheelchair just like Randy was.
And he's...
And Piper, you know, he ain't gonna let that shit stand.
And it's almost like he's sympathetic because now his an orphan brother. This is so fucking terrible. So 90s. But like, his orphan... He's like, you know what? My brother put your brother in a wheelchair and you felt the need to do the same. So I'm putting you in a fucking wheelchair.
An eye for an eye, Rip! An eye for an eye!
And you literally... In like the way like wrestling is now, like, you could have had it where he came to a WWF show and he was in the crowd. And he's like, "I know what you did to my brother." And Jim Hogan's like, "Who the fuck are you?" And he's like, trying to fight the security, and then like, and then you figure out, and it leads to instead of it being in a fucking ring, they literally fight in a fucking alleyway
and
beat the shit out of each other for like 15 minutes,
just like they live.
Just like they live.
That I like this idea.
Can you imagine?
It's a prequel. It's also a prequel to They Live. It's him playing. He's John Nada.
Better scenario is Keith David is Zeus's brother.
Oh my God!
So Piper and Keith David are buddies.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
But every time, but then even bigger swerve is Hogan is actually an alien.
Oh my god.
He has the glasses on.
And he's been the heel all along. We just didn't know it.
We've been brainwashed to believe that Hogan was his person.
The no-holds-barred cinematic universe. All right, I think we just covered the first part of this question, but this will ask the second question. If there were to do a reboot or a sequel today, who stars in it? All right, we've covered the sequel. Like, if they remade No Holds Barred, like, who
the,
you put in?
The first person that pops in my head, and it's the most logical one, is John Cena is going to be Hogan's part. Because you can't really do anybody else in that part. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, who would you put in that part? It'd have to be Cena. It'd have to be. I mean,
it's... In one regard, you're absolutely right, because, I mean, they are sort of, like, mirrors as far as, like, you know, being the guy. And, God, I mean, I wouldn't say this to Cena's face, because he'd fucking kill me, but... Hogan's a fucking cheese ball, but, like... Hogan looks like a bad motherfucker. Yeah. Like, Cena, I don't know, he's too cookie cutter.
If you've ever seen, like, John Cena in person, because, I mean, we've been to WWE shows. Like, I think you went to a SmackDown show with me, but I know Cena wasn't there. But, like, if you ever see John Cena in person, he's very, like... I don't want to, like, come off like this.
Cro-Magnon?
No, he's very, like, midget-like. He's very stubby-legged and stubby-armed, because he's so fucking big.
Yeah.
But his frame is so smaller. Like Hogan's a taller guy. So he's going to be a little bit more lengthy in the arms. But seeing it, like, I get what you're saying. Like, he doesn't look as menacing as Hogan. And
if he grows the mullet and the mustache, I'm on board.
The only other, like, person I could think of, other than I could see Randy Orton in that role.
But at the same time, like, Orton's dull as fuck. Cena, I think, could chew the scenery a little better. Orton has the presence of Zeus, painted black.
But who would you make the fucking heel? I mean, you could literally go anywhere with this. It could be any actor. You know what I mean?
I think for right now, like, I think a change I would make is it would be all actual wrestling people. Because at least then you could have some more action. It'd be Braun Strowman or Samoa Joe.
Do you know who just literally popped in my head? I mean, I know because it's kind of, you know, Zeus is black. But, like, the person that popped in my head, and it would, like, his facial reactions and everything would have been perfect for it if John Cena was in the role as Rip, but Rampage Jackson was in the role of Zeus. And I see it, because...
I can kind of see it, too. How about a role reversal? How about you've got, let's say, like, Big E.
Yeah.
Big E's Rip, and then, you know, your Zeus character is a white guy. Who you cast that way?
Well, like, and when I think of, like, that aspect, I think of somebody like an Ivan Drago character. But when I think someone like that, I immediately think of the guy that they're toying around with being Drago's son in Creed. I saw pictures of. I cannot think of the guy's name.
Brock Lesnar.
I mean, if you're really going to go to that, like, extreme, Brock would be the perfect heel for that part.
Yeah. He's got as much acting ability as Zeus does.
It's true. Better wrestler, though. I think we can agree on that.
Yes, by and large. Okay, our next question comes from Scott Huff, who...
He's an alumni, big contributor
to the show. Was in the last episode, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, with me,
which was a great episode, by the way.
Well, thank you, I appreciate that. The Halloween 3 episode is in second place as far as downloads, but this last episode, and we fucking hit our stride.
I think it's because you keep getting banned from posting it everywhere.
I have been banned from fucking Facebook twice now. I'm actually on ban right now. Anyways. Who trained Zeus for the 6-star match? And he's being facetious. He and Hogan later had. You know, in all honesty, I don't think he had any, like,
formal training.
I'm sure that they probably had some people work in general with him. And I know they talk about this on Bruce Pritchard's podcast, but for the life of me, I don't know 100%. And... I don't know that I would want to be credited with it, to be honest with you, because he was the drizzling shits, and that's to say the least. Okay. Are you looking it
up? I'm trying to look up just to see if he had any. His gimmicks was an invincible monster.
Well, he wasn't invincible. He got ripped
in the ass.
I love it. They looking it up says a history that the character, a character actor with menacing roles based on his looks. He opposed Hulk Hogan in the B movie. Holds part. That's funny. But yeah, like I really don't know. I mean, I've never really seen anything posted anywhere. I mean, I imagine they brought him in and just done a little bit of formal training, saying, "Hey, this
well,
is how you do
they,
this."
They limited his time in the ring, and rightfully so. I mean, he probably had more ring time in WCW than he did in the WWF.
Oh God, that's not, I don't even want to mention
that's,
that.
That's another
so terrible.
We might live stream that match someday, the Doomsday Cage. All right, this is a last one. Discuss how the strict kayfabe of the day allowed or pardoned them essentially acting in a movie on the same set during a show feud. Even as a little kid, I was like, what the fuck? All right, what he's driving at here is how did you separate the fact that they were... Zeus is a character from a movie who shows up as a, you know, as a real life quote unquote person on the show. I think by this point, kayfabe was, it was still alive, but I think Vince just didn't care. This was an opportunity they thought to make money. They were completely wrong, but this all comes down just down to money.
Yeah, and like we were kind of talking about too with like the very beginning of the movie. You know, kayfabe was certainly like alive to me. Like you said, even though Vince didn't care, I think he still cared enough because if he didn't care enough in 88, why did they make such a fuss about kayfabe being broken in 96 with the in the garden with the click? So in my mindset, like just like you know, we keep watching this menu and you keep seeing the first match of the movie. Like we were talking about how it's hard to keep kayfabe when you're literally at a show for your fans because I mean it was definitely an arena. And you're putting Hogan out there as Rip. You're giving them all this Rip, and Rip hats and Rip T-shirts and Rip foam fingers, this and that.
Ripped anuses.
Exactly. So like in their mindset, like okay, this is a movie that Hulk Hogan's going to be in. So how do you distinguish what's real and what's fake then? So this is a match going on in front of you. Like okay, guys, we're filming for a movie. This match is fake, but everything else you see is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It was, I mean, in hindsight, this is always ill-conceived. I think, you know, they had a window to maybe do something and make it work, and they were too late on it, and it wasn't going to be what they thought it was going to be. But that question was asked by Jason Davis. I think that's going to wrap it up. We're going to move on to bigger and better things. I would like to invite everybody to go on Facebook, check out NGW.
Next Generation Wrestling Tennessee.
Yeah, you can find out about what they got going on, shows and stuff. Check our Facebook and page out, Rants for the Black Lodge podcast. And obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, we're going to be on iTunes pretty soon.
Cool.
That's in the works right now. But until then, you can find our page at rantsfromtheblacklodge.buzzsprout.com. And we've also got a YouTube page, so go up there, subscribe, rate, like, comment, and all that bullshit.
And share the page, guys.
Yeah, please.
Get this over.
Yeah, you dumb fucks.
I mean, we have over 3,000 likes on our NGW page.
And I don't have shit on mine.
Like, so we gotta let's push this show and let's get it out there, guys.
Yeah.
This is fun shit.
Push it like the WWE has pushed Roman Reigns down your throats because you love that so much.
I'm gonna kill these people if we do that.
All right, signing off from the Black Lodge, it's me, Brendan A. Lane, the insane gentleman who brings this show to you month in and month out, and for Eddie James Shepherd, who's waving even though you can't see it.
Can't see me, I'm waving.
All right, see you again, motherfuckers.